The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Let's go! My son is in
Gator!
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback.
Watson. Touchdown. Hunter Renfro. Little man makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to another Football to the Max. I'm your host, Sean Garmer, and here with me, of course, the dudes that make this thing run, Mr. Gary Vaughn, and something happened with Randy over there. Hopefully everything is okay.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm plugging shit. Sorry.
Okay. I was making sure. I wasn't sure if I passed out or someone else did. I heard. I thought maybe I fell down. But no. Hey, it's great to be here tonight, Sean. I mean, Randy, I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun because this is post-draft. And just we could kind of talk a little bit about it freely, right? We're not confined yet because we're not doing our grades tonight. But I'm excited about talking about some of these big things that did take place in the draft and kind of, you know, get into some of the things we each think is interesting about this. I'm stoked.
Hey, guys. The Jets didn't draft a quarterback, so I'm happy.
They're smart. They know that there's a big draft class coming of quarterbacks next week, so... before we get into that, though, I do want to talk about this, because it doesn't have anything to do with football, per se. Just because, you know, I know we all watch this channel, and we've grown up with some of these people, and it always sucks to hear about people getting fired, and losing jobs, and whatever, and you know, these people have jobs that are, you know, things we kind of, I'm sure, I know I wish I kind of had a job like this, so it just always sucks. You know, ESPN obviously kind of falling under fire now that they are gaining viewers. They're gaining, apparently last month they gained 42,000 homes, while some other, I think like Fox Sports lost like 80,000. But they're, and you know, their ratings aren't going down, but they keep losing subscribers for the most part. And they had to give up a lot of money for the college football contracts and NFL and everything else. So they have to give up $100 million in talent contracts to kind of make up for that. And they had to let go of some people. And like for me, like seeing Jay Crawford go after all those years of him being on, he wasn't really doing a whole lot after they kind of replaced him on First Take. But I kind of do remember, you know, watching him. I think MLB is kind of what got hit the hardest, other than NFL, because not only did they lose a bunch of guys like, you know, Jason Stark, who's been there what seems like forever, is gone. A bunch of the players are gone, like Doug Glanville and Raul Ibanez, several of them. But they lost Baseball Tonight, Randy. So, I mean, I remember growing up with Baseball Tonight, and just like watching that, and I watching replays of that for till like, you know, 2 a.m. Or something, and just now it's not even going to be on at all. That's crazy. And of course, Ed Werder, Trent Dilfer, both gone on the NFL side. NHL was already low as it was. Lots of college football people gone as well, if you're keeping score there. So, yeah. I mean, and Gary, you know, somebody we probably know from the Dallas area, John Jock Taylor, he's gone too.
Oh, Jock. Man, this is crazy, you know. Honestly, this is the one place I thought it'd be very difficult to get, you know, fired from because, you know, they pretty much control a lot of different things. But, you know, this is the way, you know, things are going when it comes to cable TV, right? I mean, people are no longer paying for cable TV. They're getting away from it. And not only that, this is the interesting thing is, you know, we're not looking for ESPN to tell us who won the Yankee game. What we're looking for, guess who? Our phones. We can find out within seconds of the game being over what happened. We don't read the newspaper to find out that anymore either. So, you know, the cable TV being the first to tell us anything is no longer there, and ESPN is paying the consequences for it, losing money. And, yeah, so a lot of great, talented people are losing their jobs over this, and it's sad, you know. I read one of the, was it Danny Cannell had a tweet that he says, you know, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, he got his whole family, moved him to Connecticut, and within like, you know, 10 minutes, his job's over, so.
Yeah, Danny Katz, too, he's been there for, what, like 20 years, he said? Like, geez.
I think the most telling thing about the people that got let go is the direction that ESPN is going. And it's like Gary said, you know, people don't go to ESPN to see who won the game. I still go and watch SportsCenter for highlights, but SportsCenter anymore is 80% just talk. There's not a lot of highlights to it. I mean, if you want to see highlights, you go watch the last 10 minutes of the show when they're doing the top 10s and stuff. So they've kind of just went away from that and went towards, you know, the shock jock kind of personalities. And it's cheaper for them since they've spent so much money on college football to go out and just get a couple of ridiculous over-the-top personalities and get buzz that way. Where, you know, you can get those YouTube videos of Stephen A. Smith going ballistic on somebody than hiring all these guys to go out and report on something. So you can definitely tell that ESPN is more going the reality-based content than the reporting-based content. They're trying to go entertainment more than sports, which is scary because MTV did that in the 90s, and look how terrible MTV turned out.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up,
Randy. MTV still does well with all the reality TV they have, though. So, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. That's probably the only reason they've had, like, the different Teen Mom still existing way after their expiration date, because they have to, because that's all they have now is reality TV. Yep. So they have to keep signing them, even though they're, what, like 20-something? No, like they shouldn't be on the show anymore, but they have to keep doing it because it's the only thing that draws ratings for them, which is...
Well, like, I mean, and they're not the only ones that, like, MTV is the most popular one, but we've all played video games. I don't remember if you guys remember the G4 network.
Yeah.
All about video games, and the next thing you know, they were trying to help pay for some of their 24-hour content by putting on Cops and things like that, and then next thing you know, that's all they had because that's all they could afford. And
right.
To me, it's kind of where ESPN's going a little bit. It's unless there's a live college football game on or some other sport that they've been able to pay for, NBA, anything like that, is like instead of paying for all of these reporters to give you, you know, actual news, it's easier to just hire a few people that are going to be able to fill an hour. That's why you have the two that were on the His and Hers podcast forever. I'm blanking on their names right now. Jamel Hill and
Michael Thomas. I think.
Michael Smith.
Yeah, Smith.
They do the Sports Center now at the main o'clock, at 3 o'clock here in Pacific time, because they're entertaining and they can fill an hour themselves. So right. Instead of having to bring in 17 different reporters, we'll just have some goofy skits and talk sports here and there, and it'll save us some money all around. But I just want to bring up the point that maybe this is the big calling that now, when these TV contracts come up, maybe, you know, Fox and NBC and ESPN can go, you know, we are way overpaying for this. Let's not push each other to such high extremes, and let's bring these prices down, because it's getting out of hand.
I wonder, though. Like, you know, with the NFL, I just can't imagine the NFL just going, nope, we're going to take less than last time. The thing is, too, for me, well, plus the NFL spread out over, like, four companies, so that doesn't, I guess that's a bad exception, but I think MLB would probably be the one that comes up first, because they just signed an extension for basketball, and I think they're stuck with college football for like 10 years or something, so, you know, but the thing is, too, just, I agree with you on that. I think in a perfect world, and then we'll have to see how much more things change in a year or 2 years, with the cable and everything else, you know, with the advent of Vue and Sling and all that, which is basically still keeping cable alive, just in a different format, because it's basically cable just where you can access it wherever you want, because you're still having to pay for a package and whatever, and then, you know, Sling has it where they just basically put a bunch of different channels and then charge you $5, which is silly, but, you know, it's however you want to get your stuff, right?
So yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen that new commercial with Mark Wahlberg about he's talking about how back in the day the TV room was the best room in the house because it had the TV in it.
Right.
Now we want everything to be a TV. So it's exactly that. Cable is locked into one room and now it is getting spread out a lot more, but coming up with the revenue ideas for that has been a bit tricky.
Now it's how many screens can I have on showing something?
Yes.
At the same time, that's how you get people.
Yeah. See, you know, and it's scary just to think about that. You know, I at one time, you know, it's weird, and hopefully I'm not aging myself here, but I remember as a kid still having those TVs that you had to literally, you know, change the dial. So it's kind of scary now where we're at and how much technology we have. And I think about my daughter all the time, where in a click of a button, she can watch some of any of her favorite shows. Where, man, if I could watch some of my favorite shows as a kid anytime I wanted, I'd be in heaven. I had to wait 6 days before my favorite Saturday morning cartoon came back on again. Right. So,
and you were and the reason why we had to watch SportsCenter or whatever was because at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, if school was not there or you were getting home from school at let's say 4, that's what was on. You know, maybe, you know, later they got into the whole let's have cartoons when the kids get out of school. So, you know, let's capitalize on that or whatnot. But yeah, it was Saturdays was cartoons, and then you could watch SportsCenter, you could watch the news, or you could watch some other thing or whatever. But I agree with you, Gary. I my grandparents had a TV that only went to channel 36 for like the longest time growing up. So I had to go to another TV in the house to watch ESPN2 because it was channel 38 or something. So,
It's wild. And you know, Randy, here's another thing I found out recently. I mean, they call these in Texas, and especially in the North Texas area, you know, back in the day, just to catch a game, you know, ESPN is beautiful because they, you know, give us all these great, you know, games on Saturdays for college football. But even in the pros, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the 70s, they had to have what they call cowboy antennas, which were really tall antennas because you couldn't get the game locally. You had to get it beyond the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So thank God we don't have to do that anymore, right? Get these super antennas on our house.
Yeah.
So we just need to rename this podcast to just look how old the three of us have gotten.
Oh, God, I know, right?
How many times have we said back in my day on this podcast?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm turning into Al Bundy. Watch out.
I'm waiting for Gary to turn around and yell, get off my lawn.
Yeah. Gonna... Rowdy kids.
Right? It's just, it is going to be interesting because, like, you know, I could see Turner Sports already got the Champions League rights. Could they try to do more than basketball, you know, coming up soon, or, you know, do more than baseball and basketball and try to get back into football or something, or just, you know, we could start seeing these other, you know, Amazon apparently wants to do more than just get the Thursday night game streaming. So, you know, we could start seeing this go to places where it's like, oh, great, I got to pay this freaking $8 a month subscription fee to be able to watch the NFL. That's really what I wanted to do. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. This is going to be interesting times in the next 5 years or so. Again, sad for these ESPN personalities that all lost their jobs. I'm sure that some of them will find work elsewhere, but, I mean, I can't believe that Fox would be able to just pick up everybody. So
that's a good thing about having the NFL Network and the MLB Network now, and there's quite a few different places that they could end up. And trust me, as somebody who has PlayStation View and finally has the wonderful MLB Network, they are hurting for content, because it seems like unless there's games going on during the day, which they show a lot of games, it's like it's a lot of reruns of the same three shows.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So they could use some content.
Yeah, NBA TV is the same thing. They show, like, the highlights package from the day before, like, all the way to, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And that thing's been airing since, like, 4 a.m. And NFL Network's the only one that has, like, a decent amount of content where you don't have that problem. But that's because they're smart and they came up with a lot of different shows. You know, so... theirs actually sort of runs like a channel, so I give NFL Network credit for that. But yeah, so let's actually talk about NFL stuff here. We're going to talk about the news first because the draft has been over, and I'm sure most people are probably draft out at this point. So we'll give our thoughts on highlights of round 2 through 7, guys. You know, we liked that got picked in different teams or whatever. After we get through this, there's not a bunch of news. It's just some little odds and ends, I guess, if you want to call it that. So the Bills got hit with – or not the Bills. The Bills hit Doug Whaley with a big news after the draft, pretty much saying, well, dude, the coach is in and he doesn't want you. And he doesn't want the whole scouting staff either. So all y'all get out of here. And, yeah, so, I mean, the dude that many people thought was the Bills were picking him over Rex Ryan, he's gone and we haven't even gotten to training camp. So, you know, shouldn't they just fired both of them at the same time? I mean, this obviously didn't have to do with the draft itself.
No, I think maybe even they knew it was coming in a sense. It just seems like it's the continuation of the full-on reset in Buffalo. You get rid of the coaching staff after the season, and then you keep in the GM and the scouts who have spent all season scouting and preparing for this draft and free agency. Let them go ahead and finish the year so you're not, like, trying to go, okay, well, we have 2 months to the draft, and now we have a whole new staff here. So let them finish their year, and that's when the scouts' year ends, is the draft. So that's basically the same thing with head coaches, right? Let them finish out their year, and then we'll move on. So this was just, to me, the end of their complete wipeout of the old system and before the new. So just the end of the year clean out.
Yeah, I mean, I get that too, and, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where you're like, hey, thank you for all that you did today. Man, you know, this pick was great, this one was, you know, I don't know, but hey, you're fired, get out of here. from like, oh, good job to, you know, your pink slip's waiting for you, security will lead you out. So this is interesting, but I mean, this is the way sometimes you've got to do business, especially if, you know, not everybody's going to get along. The coaching staff is not really thrilled about them. So, you know, it's sad and I hate it, but this is kind of sports, right? I mean, you get fired at the most impromptu times. You just, it's not really something that works out to your convenience.
No, obviously not. I mean, the rest of the other the ESPN employees we just talked about, they had to deal with that too. Of hey, it's whenever that's, you know, the coach and the owners and everybody else decides, okay, we're done here. You know, I kind of felt he should have been fired a long time ago. Whenever you think EJ Manuel needs to be starting ahead of Tyrod Taylor, you got to question how much you know about football there, Mr. Whaley. But
it's Tyrod Taylor.
EJ Manuel isn't better than almost anyone.
I agree, Taylor's not the answer either, so why not try different things?
I don't know. He's not, but at least he gets you close in the game, which is better than the dude doesn't commit a bunch of turnovers, so at least you're not losing because of him in that way, where EJ Manuel, man, he made a bunch of mistakes the time he was on the field, so it's hey, it's over with now. The dude, I'm sure he'll find another job at some point. But, hey, now Sean McDermott gets to pick his own scouting staff, and I'm sure he'll have a hand in picking the GM, and we'll see how that goes for the Bills, really. Should be just some months where we're seeing if there's going to be any kind of rifts between everybody. I'm sure there won't be, though. He's going to have his guys in there, and it'll be all good, you'd think, anyway. Something interesting here for this only affects like a couple of players because this didn't really last more than a year. But the Department of Defense has rescinded their policy on pro-ready athletes, allowing them to not have to serve their 2 years in the military after they graduate one of the military academies. And just go straight to playing football. You did have this with the Ravens last year with Keenan Reynolds, who's still on their practice squad. Now, I don't know if let's say the Ravens were to cut him, if the Department of Defense would allow him to sign with another team because technically he was there under the old policy, or if he would then have to serve his 2 years or whatever, but what do you guys think about this? I mean, obviously, this is an old rule that's been around for as long as they've had it. You know, Roger Staubach had to serve his 2 years, all that stuff. There's so much exceptions made for athletes nowadays. Is this one of those cases where it's like, you know, old school doesn't always work, or is military one of those where you kind of got to make the exception, like, hey, we're paying for you to go to this school. The least you can do is serve 2 years here.
You know, it's a really interesting thing because of the fact that you get it. You know, the military is paying their way. They're giving them an opportunity that they wouldn't have if it wasn't for, you know, them giving them to them. So I think that, you know, there should be some kind of service pay. But, you know, then again, there's so many different people out there that are in that system that don't go play professional sports and they are serving their time. So can there be a special case? I don't see why there can't. In fact, maybe find another way for them to serve. Maybe don't have them serve in a certain way. Maybe have them do some things like in the off season, they have to go and do recruiting or something like that to kind of sign a contract saying, hey, if you do make it in the NFL or NBA or wherever you're going, you have to serve a certain amount of years as a servant under this, da, 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 something like that to give them that option. I'm not sold that they really need to take 2 years off just to serve in the military, just to do it so they can say, hey, you fulfilled your need. I think they can actually offer their services in different ways. And hey, if you only make the practice squad and you're not actually doing anything, well, then maybe that's another thing they put in the contract. Say, well, if you're not doing much, might as well come serve.
I don't think there should be an exception for sports, to be honest. You sign the contract saying that you're going to do your 2 years of service after school. Do your 2 years. Athletes get away with everything anyways. But in this case, that was part of the deal. It's not like you're signing a contract. It's different than signing, your recruitment letter and saying that you're going to go to this school and you're guaranteed that you're going to be there on scholarship for 4 years, because they can catch it from scholarship and you can leave early. It's a little different with military. They take things a lot more serious. And I think whether you want to leave to go run a gas station, or you want to become a doctor, or you want to play professional football, if you've signed that you're going to do 2 years of service before you go do any of those, do your 2 years of service.
I got a question for you then. I understand where you're coming from, and I really don't have a problem with it. I'm kind of not even on the fence here. I honestly don't have a dog in the fight. I'm okay with whatever decision they make. But I will say this, because of the fact that the military does pay their college, pays for everything that they,
well, the taxpayers actually pay their college.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but still, that's somebody else besides themselves paying it, right?
Right.
And this is not like it's the universities doing it. It's like, hey, this is through the government. If they feel really sore about it, and maybe they can put something in here where if the military doesn't just have to have these guys, maybe say if you decide to opt out of your 2 years, you pay back all the money. When you get your contract.
So basically it's like a student loan.
Basically, yes. It's like a contract.
It's like a buyout. And as long as that's available for everybody, then yeah, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I agree with Randy. If it's available to everybody, then yes. The problem is, are they going to work like a student loan where they're going to let you have 6 months to get your stuff in order and all that kind of whatever? And can you make small payments and all that stuff? How are they going to work this out? Because, not everybody goes and becomes a football player and can pay that in one lump sum and you're done. Like, most people, you graduate with these degrees, and that doesn't guarantee you jack squat, okay? You can graduate with this degree, and you can go work, you can go wind up working at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And you ain't making anywhere near the money to even make your rent, let alone pay a glorified student loan back. So,
yeah,
And I
think that also comes into play with this military service too, because of the fact that I think a lot of players will probably know their status going into the NFL. Because trust me, these guys act like, oh, we're the best, but some of these guys know going into the NFL, I'm going to be a special teams player. I'm going to pray and hope that I'm better than that, though. And then some of these guys come in and say, there's a reason why I got drafted in the second and first round, because I'm pretty awesome and everybody knows it. I know it. I can rely on myself. I will sign that contract gladly and then just pay back my military money. Some of these guys know that they may not do much in the NFL and may just say, hey, I'm going to opt in to do my 2 years, come out, and then try my chances at the NFL. I'm already drafted by the Falcons. The Falcons have my rights. I'll just come out of the military service, and then I'll go help them. So it's kind of like a futures contract, right? Something like that. So I don't know. There's a multitude of ways of doing this, but I think it makes these kids responsible for, what they're doing and the life decisions.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, too. The thing with it affecting the players is, hey, look, depending on what you do in that 2 years, something could happen, and you're not the same guy that when you got drafted, right? Mm-hmm. So that affects. Look, I'm not going to sit there and say that the military doesn't get benefits, but there's so many unemployed military people. So he goes from possibly being able to play in the NFL and or the Arena League or whatever, okay? to now having to forget all of those dreams because you had to serve the 2 years and now you can't play football. Like,
it's
that
not
affected
up on those, but it's not giving up on those dreams because you knew what you were getting into when you signed the stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not all of a sudden, oh, by the way, here's a loophole that you didn't know about. This is part of what they knew was going in when they signed their agreement.
It goes for the NFL team that's signing them as well and drafting them. They know going into this, okay, if I want this kid, he's a great running
back.
Yeah,
but how many – but that's a lot of times what we don't hear about military guys getting drafted is because of that
too. Mm-hmm. That's true, and that's exactly the reason. I mean, and no matter how good this little running back, you know, out of Navy looks, you just don't know – in 2 years, if he's going to be that little running back that you love, or if he's just going to be some other guy that you really kind of wish you never had picked up, or maybe in the dream pick that you were so happy you did, you just never know. It's huge risk.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, Randy's right about, look, it's not like they're nobody's telling them what they're signing. They know. It's just, I think Gary brings up good points. There could be other ways to handle this, you know, if you really want to go that route. So, I'm glad we had a good conversation here of ways you can deal with this here. So, you know, the other thing that's going around right now is the fifth-year option being picked up on players that were drafted in the 2014 NFL draft. One of those guys who, you know, was not going to get that fifth-year option, magically got that fifth-year option today, and his name is Blake Bortles. And, you know, interesting that they go back on this decision and go, all right, we're going to pick up that option on Bortles, and we're going to have him stick here for at least another couple of years. I will say the Jags looked better with Marrone in those last two games, but those were two games that didn't matter either.
Yeah, I agree. And do you think part of that was because a quarterback that they thinking they might get in the draft didn't fall to them? So they went, well, we didn't get somebody here for the future, so, well, we'll pick up Bortles and then we'll see where we're at then. You guys know me. I like Bortles. He's turnover prone and he makes some mistakes and he looked really bad for most of last year. But as you said, maybe the new system, get Coughlin in there. I love all of the additions they add to help him. And basically they're going, okay, we've done everything we can for you, and we're going to in this offseason. You show us, and if it doesn't work, you know, yes, we picked up your fifth option, but don't be surprised if they draft for a quarterback very high next year's draft.
Yeah, you know, and it doesn't seem like very long ago when, you know, people were talking about Blake Bortles and, you know, how exciting he was to watch. And then the next thing you know, he's not popular at all. And people are just waiting for him to walk out that door in Jacksonville. But, you know, it is worth a chance. And Randy's exactly right here. There's so much more talent added to this team. It's worth giving him an option or an opportunity to see what he can do with a much more well-rounded offense and, of course, some great additions to defense as well. I mean, I think that they're built to, you know, maybe have a way better year than they did last year already.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the pieces there, obviously, to have a better, and Marrone being offensive-minded, you've got to think they're going to have a better year than last year. He can fix the mechanics, all that kind of stuff that was the problem. Apparently he was hurt also last year and didn't tell anybody, which I can kind of understand that with, like, everybody was sort of calling for him to get replaced after a while. You know, I think it's a good idea, though, especially because next year, if he doesn't play well, you've got a great draft class next year that you would have your pick of the litter of, probably, because you're going to be in one of those top five picks again. So, I mean, I don't think you lose anything by doing this if you're the Jags. Finally, Jamal Charles is visiting the Broncos tomorrow. Let's say, you know, he might land there, he might not. Do you think of a good landing spot where I'm sure Jamal Charles understands his role at this point, considering all his injuries and everything, where maybe he's not starting, but he could definitely be have a role?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I think the Broncos is not a bad spot. I mean, they've got some guys on this roster already that, you know, can carry a majority of the load. But when they need a guy like Jamal Charles, they can use him here and there. And, you know, third downs or any other situational spot, I mean, he's a big boost for them. You know, I look at also teams, you know, we saw Minnesota and what they did and do the draft, things like that. I mean, but you can never go without having some big talent like Jamal Charles. So it's hard for you to say that there's not quite a few teams that could really use his services. I mean, even the Saints did some great work in the draft, you know, trying to find a solid running backs. But, you know, you can never, you know, cut yourself too short with a good running back. You know, Jamal Charles, we already know, he can't play the full season. You've got to sparingly use him. So it's got to go to a team that is not going to try to feature him.
Yeah, which is perfect, I think, for Denver, as they have a couple other running backs they can go with. And, you know, you don't rely on Jamal Charles to get you 20, 25 rushes in a game, give you a good solid 10 every game. He's a very good asset. I mean, it kind of reminds me of DeMarco Murray going to Tennessee last year. You know, he had a couple great years with Dallas, struggled in Philly, and then goes to the Titans and works with Derrick Henry, and they both exceed and they both play extremely well. Same thing with Charles. I mean, Charles has a bit more of an injury history, and that's why, you know, his career has kind of taken a turn. But you put him there at Denver and don't rely on him, but let him come in key situations. I think it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I like the Denver move too. Don't know if it's going to happen or not, but, you know, C.J. Anderson and him working together, that would be a tremendous pairing. If, you know, Charles could stay healthy, you can also have, you know, do some screen stuff with Charles or put him out there to catch some passes. So you can use him in a variety of ways. Just he's got to stay healthy to prevent it becoming like a disaster signing for, and I wouldn't be surprised if he takes the like 1 year deal, like we've seen some guys do, and bet on themselves and go, okay, well, if I can do well in this 1 year, then, you know, maybe I'll get big money next time. So you do have that. So, going along here, I think the only thing we got left is to talk about these rounds here. Now the second round's obviously still pretty interesting, especially at the top, because you had plenty of guys that were still there that were names. Once you get past the second round, you know, you start getting into, you know, gems and whatnot. But you know, Dalvin Cook finally going the 41st pick to the Vikings, so watch out, Latavius Murray.
Stop it with the watch out. You can go 50-50. Again, Tennessee.
I'm still saying that Latavius Murray needs to be careful.
Okay. Now he'll get his 10 to 15, just like Murray did. When you ragged on Tennessee for drafting a running back after
I did
Murray.
Not. I said that was a good pick.
No. I'm going to go back and find it. You hated it. Maybe it was Gary that hated it. One of you two hated it. I fought all offseason with you. I'm pretty sure. I have to go back and find some footage.
Yeah, you'll have. It wasn't me. I didn't have any problem with it. No, this is interesting in the way this is all working out. And, you know, once again, I mean, we're talking running backs and the way that the NFL and, of course, the coaching staffs have kind of given their thoughts about these running backs is the, by the way, now you're seeing these guys float around, right? It's not just, hey, you know, this guy is going to stick with us for, you know, 8-10 years. No, these guys live on a team maybe 3-4 years if they're really solid players, and then the next thing you know, they're gone. and they're trying to get big money, but then they're moving on to the next team, and then all these other teams are saying, well, we're just going to rotate these guys. Why pay big money for a guy if we're just going to rotate him out anyway? So your Latavius Murray's a guy that's finding that kind of thing out, you know, and it offers guys, older guys especially, to get a chance to even get back in the game, like Lynch here. Because I never would have thought that, you know, we'd see Lynch back on a NFL team again, but here we
are. Don't talk about Marshawn Lynch with Randy.
Oh, and I can't wait to send Randy some Skittles this season. It's going to be hilarious.
God, I can't. I just can't. I can't do with Lynch. It's at least, again, I live in the Pacific Northwest with a bunch of Seahawks fans, so at least they all are starting to hate him now, too.
That's the positive. Speaking of a guy that was getting some hate, Joe Mixon, going to the Bengals. I don't know about this being the best situation for if you want to get better from a character perspective. But
let's have a guy that has character issues that hit a woman. Let's put him on the Bengals, who I swear lead the league in arrests. Overall,
with Vontaze Perfect, who's just waiting.
Yes,
it's awful. And listen, I'm going to be the first one to go out there. I don't think Mixon should have even been allowed in the draft process.
Wow, really?
Put him in the supplemental draft. Absolutely not. You ran Ray Rice out of the league for the same thing. Out of the league. I'm not saying
nobody told the league not to re-sign him. They chose not to.
But they took him out for a whole year. They suspended that guy for a year at the tail end of his career. I'm saying, listen, with Joe Mixon, I'm not saying he should never have been in the NFL. I'm saying work your way up. He is going to get seven figures. Make him go in the supplemental draft or go undrafted, either one, and make him work for that money. Make him show to somebody. Make him have to sign a minimum contract. And then earn that money. I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the NFL. I don't think he should have been allowed to be picked so early. That's all I'm saying. He deserves the second chance. He's a young kid. He made a mistake. He should not have been.
But that's the difference, though. Ray Rice was, he'd been in the league a while. He was, what, 30?
But I'm just saying, what did you show to other kids? Well, if you make a mistake in college, it won't matter if you're that good. We will still draft you high.
Yeah.
That's how it's always been.
I know. But the NFL and their fake media, we care about stuff.
Well, this is like WWE, you know.
That hitting women is the worst thing ever. But, you know, you're still going to make millions of dollars, kid, right off the gate. I'm just saying, make him earn it. Make him show that he's going to change his ways and put it on the field, and then he can make millions of dollars on his next contract.
To be fair, he did sit out a year at Oklahoma.
That's the only reason
I will say. It's not like he served no punishment at all while he was in college or whatever. He sat out an entire year, and he got taken. Look, I mean, they're
in the worst situation possible.
He got taken the worst, and he got taken the second round. Nobody took him in the first round. He could have got more money if somebody decided to get real bold, because there's nobody stopping them. But it's just, you know.
I get the sympathy. I do. And, you know, I kind of sympathize. I mean, this is a mistake the guy made, and hopefully this was a mistake he made. Hopefully this is not Joe Mixon being Joe Mixon. I'm hoping.
Hey, look, Conley got drafted in the first round, you know.
And I disagreed with that one, too.
The Conley thing isn't proven, and now the report's coming out that it was complete false.
I'm sure it was.
There were no facts to go over that.
Seriously, you know what? There should be some kind of penalty for that. Like, honestly, in the court of law, this needs to start happening. Like, this is ridiculous that women are allowed to make false accusations to these guys, and they don't serve any kind of punishment. But, like, you know, any time this is brought up, you have people automatically thinking that, oh, he did it. And it's just like, that's so wrong. Like, I don't know if you can really do that, but like this needs to stop. Like it's ridiculous. Like you're hurting these people, you're hurting yourself, and you're hurting women who try and actually have something really happen, and they start going, oh well, you're doing it for the money. We don't believe you. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, yeah. it's not good. If it didn't happen, don't try to make it something it's not.
Yeah, it's punishment for not getting to be on the guy's arm when he's making seven figures or you know whatever. It's their way of punishing, and then there are some people that actually do it, like you said, have problems. But yeah, the gambling thing, we you know, once again, that wasn't on video. You know, there was no proof of that, so it is kind of hard to say. But I will say with Joe Mixon, there's evidence. We all know he did it. And there's that whole process of, sure, he got punished in college. The one thing I want to say is I agree with Randy on this because of the fact of the way that young people look at these players now. And no longer, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, no longer are people growing up saying, I'm a Minnesota Vikings diehard fan. I don't care what players they have. I love this team. You're getting more and more of the youth following players. Cam Newton, that's all they care about. If Cam Newton moves over to the Las Vegas Raiders or he moves over to play for the Seattle Seahawks, he's going to wear that jersey. He's going to get rid of his Carolina jersey and put the other one that says Cam Newton on it. And I think that's the way we look at this guy with Joe Mixon. There were so many kids that liked Joe Mixon. They followed him in college. And they're going to want to buy his jersey when he goes to the NFL, and they're going to want to be him. So if he's doing these type of things and he's getting, hey, this guy still gets seven figures, he can screw up too, I'm not going to worry so much. I'm just going to go into this thing. But if they're scared out of their minds that if I screw up in college or any time in high school, I'm not going to be making the big bucks that I expect. I want my brand new shoes. I want my brand new car. I'm going to be the best student I can be. I'm not going to be like Joe Mixon, who's making barely anything right now, and I'm going to be better than him. But now they don't have to worry about that because Joe Mixon is getting celebrated anyway.
My only caveat to this is saying that he did get punished in college, and this guy is on an absolute, absolute short leash. He does anything above a traffic ticket, he's gone. Because he still made money, but you got to give him that opportunity to say, I'm not ever going to do something like this again. Okay, make your money.
My response to that, for one, yes, he's making his money. You just said that. So if he gets gone, he's still going to get seven figures and he's going to have to figure out somehow to live off of that. But my response as far as he got punished in college, how much money did that cost him?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know whether he's scholarship nothing. Or whatever. If
he was still on scholarship, he's still going mm-hmm. to school for free. It cost him no money. Because, yes, if he doesn't ever punch that girl, he goes to the first round, no doubt. So, yes, he cost himself a little bit as far as his first contract. I'm just saying that as much I think Oklahoma was right by suspending him the rest of the year, and I think the only reason it became bigger news was because the video came out well after the fact and brought up old news, and then they were wondering why they weren't punishing him again. I get that. I think Oklahoma was right in that. I'm just saying punishing him in college means nothing as far as the NFL. The NFL has this whole model that they are trying to implement and whatnot, and they completely counteract it when they allow him, after that video comes out, to make so much money. You now have that supplemental draft after the fact. Just throw him in that and make him work his way up. It's the same thing, short leash. But don't give him such a giant bone at the start of that leash.
Yeah, and the one thing I want to say, too, is about the college sports. You know, we have controversies in college sports. We have all these things. But there's nothing like the magnifying glass that gets put on these, major sports like the NFL, NBA. And the magnifying magnifying glass is there and people are looking for things. You know, college sports, if you want to really get into it, we could talk about injuries like high ankle sprains and things like that. Where
or Jake Butt,
you have to take,
who,
yeah,
he suffered big time because of the injury he got in the bowl game.
Yeah, but exactly. But I'm just meaning just in general in college sports where a guy gets a high ankle sprain. In the NFL, you got to take 3 weeks off sometimes. In college, they kind of say, kid, wrap it up, or you've got a bowl game to play next week, you know, or we got to win this game to get into a bowl. So those guys have to tough it out, where in the NFL it's not. So my point on that is no one really pays attention to college when it comes to that kind of stuff, punishments or even like player rights. They're just now getting some player rights in college sports. So the NFL, that's paid more attention to the magnifying glasses on it. That's why you got to treat these guys and really make sure that, you know, the rest of the world understands that, hey, if you did something wrong like this, which is very wrong, you're going to pay the consequences in the NFL.
You know, I think there's a time and a, like, for me, the reason why Ezekiel Elliott got so much crap was because they didn't, like that thing that they were trying to get him for, that they're still interviewing him for, which is ridiculous, is because that never really got dealt with in college, so they're having to deal with it in the NFL. So they're trying to now do the diligence that should have been done in college, and they're having to, like, go the extra effort to freaking interview him a million times. Whereas, you know, with Joe Mixon, you already had the previous stuff, and they're not wanting to really have to make him deal with it more. So I think it's just, I understand from a PR perspective, from a public perception perspective, you know, all that, whatever, but I think they're looking at it from, this is the league, we're going to punish him the way we punish people, which is, okay, we're going to draft you lower, and that's going to be your punishment. You're going to lose money you could have got, and then after that, now you got to prove it. So, that, I mean, it is what it is at this point. They chose not to do it. We'll have to see if he really, you know, he's going to have plenty of time to prove that he has changed and that was a one-time incident and that he's not that guy and whatever. And let's see, you know.
Yeah. He's got Marvin Lewis looking out for him, hopefully, and Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, just don't talk to Vontaze Burfict. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I mean, the Browns did take their quarterback in the second round. DeShone Kizer goes to the Browns, Randy. So you had the AFC North, just the wrong team.
Yeah, and I knew that Pittsburgh was going to get their backup quarterback. They just did it later. So I feel like I was correct. And I like that move by Cleveland. Now you have Kizer, who has a lot of questions to him. I mean, let's just get that out of the way. And you get him late in the second round, your fourth pick in the draft. So now the pressure's not really even on him. If he pans out, great. If not, you are just getting another body in there for the quarterback battle here in the spring and over the next couple of years. So if you hit a home run and you finally find that quarterback, that's great. But finally, Cleveland doesn't reach for one of these quarterbacks and they let one fall to them. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I was a real, you know, a supporter of, you know, Kizer and just watching him play. And sure, you know, let's be honest, he didn't exactly, you know, help them win a lot of games in Notre Dame when it came to, hey, you know, we depend on you. So there are question marks about this guy. But I think at the end of the day, if Cleveland really works hard and really gets this guy under their wing and really shows him, you know, hey, you know, this is the way that we play in the NFL. This is the way we prepare and get him, you know, prepared for the future. He could be a really good pick for them and a good player in the future. I'm really happy for them. You know, kind of the way way I feel about Pittsburgh and Josh Dobbs. I think Dobbs is really going to do something that could be special if they could just get him under Big Ben's, you know, tutelage and really work with him and, you know, see what they can get out of this kid. The only thing you can do is get these guys in the system and see what you got. Really, you just never know coming out of college. You can only go so far. I mean, heck, even the first round picks out of the, you know, you could even say the same thing about any of the three that got picked in the top, you know. You just don't know. The potential's there, but, you know, so these later round, Kaiser may be the best one in the whole draft. We don't know.
Right. I mean, yeah, I definitely think he could beat out Landy Jones for the backup spot. So, you know, he has a goal to get to, just like Deshaun Kaiser really has a goal to make sure he's the number two. So That's something to go for in your first year, you know. Anybody else you guys around two you want to mention before we move on here? Don't have to spend a bunch of time on it or whatever, but
yeah. No, you know, I will say really quickly. I mentioned this off air with Sean, but I mean, I love Mr. Mr. Irrelevant. I think Chad Kelly is a guy that I'm really interested in seeing what they do in Denver with that guy. I like it because he's kind of a loose cannon, and I think he's got so much raw potential. He may never pan out to be anything, and I don't know if he can keep his nose clean long enough to do something, but if he can kind of rein things in, I think maybe Chad Kelly could be something that's a secret special there. So
that's a good place for him to go to.
Go all the way in the Mr. Robbins spot. Feel...
Yeah, and until the Jets trade for him, Randy.
No. But just really quickly back on the second round, I talked about it on the other podcast about how I was hoping the Jets were going to get him. But Kevin King going to Green Bay is the perfect fit. One of the better cornerbacks in the draft going to a great team that has a big need at cornerback. So, and it was the first pick of the second round, but I thought that was a masterful job by Green Bay.
Yeah, I like that pick too. They needed defensive back help. He was one of the best still available. That was going to be, hopefully for them, a cornerstone guy now going forward. Moving on to the third round, I really like the Saints going three wide on the running backs, getting Alvin Kamara. Now, you know, if Mark Ingram and Adrian Peterson get hurt, you still got somebody, which yeah, those two, that happens. Yeah.
And it's not only that, but it's a running back for the future. AP, you know, is not for the future. Neither is Ingram. So that's totally fine. I love Cooper Kupp. I work with a guy who went to Eastern Washington, and he wants to put on Eastern Washington games all the time at work. And I don't know if you guys have seen Eastern Washington's field.
It's the all-red field.
It's the all-red field, and it's so ugly to look at. It's so rough, especially because – they're not Division One, so it's never in HD, so it just looks awful. However, Cooper Kupp is amazing. I think he's going to be a perfect slot receiver when it comes down to it. Great hands, not the most explosion out of the block, but does have some sneaky speed there. So a Wes Welker type, again, hoping he was going to fall to the Jets. He went one pick before where the Jets were before they did what they did all round or all draft trade down, but him going to the Rams would be interesting. But that's a name in round three that I'm not sure a lot of people will know about that I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp looked. They were talking big time about him. I know you really wanted him, but I think he goes to a team where he could stand out. I mean, the Rams just absolutely went all offense in this draft, so they better hit on somebody because Jared Goff needs all the help he can get at this point. So, you know, last year, other than the tight end, they really didn't hit too much on guys, so I don't think you can go wrong here with Cooper Kupp, and it's good for the Rams to have something meaningful happen for them. I think, honestly, there's a lot of good picks. I like the Tywan Taylor pick to the Titans. They another wide receiver for them. He's going to be good. Our Darius Stewart for the Jets. Kareem Hunt going to the Chiefs. That could be sneaky. And Davis Webb going to the Giants. Interesting. He gets to learn behind Eli Manning. So something happens to Eli, who's apparently, like, he's never really gotten hurt. So Davis Webb might be sitting there for a while. But, hey, you get to learn from a Super Bowl winning quarterback. That's pretty awesome if you're Davis Webb. And I don't know that you can ask this. One of the teams you kind of want to go to if you're him. So the 49ers picking C.J. Beathard, I have no idea what that was about. But, you know, whatever at this point. And pretty awesome for James Conner to go to the Steelers. That was just really cool. Anything on your end, Gary? I mean, do you like the Cowboys taking another corner?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting what they did with their picks here, you know, because they kind of went heavily on the defensive backfield. The one I'm really curious about is Xavier Woods. You know, I've heard several teams look at them and him as a safety for many places, and but the Cowboys had to trade up to the Jets to make sure that they could get him. So, I mean, he obviously had something they liked. I think I like him too. He's the one guy that I'm kind of pointing at to see if he can actually start in this league day one. And he could, but he's the one I have a lot of intrigue about.
Well, it's certainly a new day for Xavier Woods going to a different team there. Let's see
if he names his pads or something Francesca. That'd be beautiful.
That would be great. We found out that he, like, named something after the wrestling character. It'd be awesome. Xavier Woods did have fun with it on Twitter, though. That was great. I love that. He's like, I got That's drafted awesome. By the Dallas Cowboys. It's like, you... And there was people believing it, too, which was so funny. Like, I was like, come on. Like, really?
I think there was actually a couple of references. It was wrestling, I think, in this one. But
no, Bruno Sammartino made a pick.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. And then they also had, you know, for those fans of food, you know, a taco. And I love Jack in the Box, the way they responded. Our favorite draft was, drafted, so we're going to give you tacos for taco.
Drew Pearson was the highlight of the whole
as an outsider, Randy, you got to tell me what you thought about the whole Drew Pearson fiasco. I mean, they wouldn't stop talking about it on the NFL Network.
Was that which was Drew Pearson? I forget.
He was the one on
the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yes. Tell me what you thought.
I thought it was fun. This is the fun part of going to different places where, and then you know that here on day two, you're going to have the veterans come in and make the picks. Have fun with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even care if he just sat there and just completely made fun of him the whole time. what I loved was he had an interview later on. I forget which radio station I was listening to, but he said that he asked Roger Goodell before they went out there, because he was kind of worried he was going to get in trouble. So he was like, I'm going to kind of poke the bear a little bit and have some fun with the Eagles. And Goodell said, absolutely, go for it. I think Goodell, you know, wanted somebody else to get booed other than him.
Yeah.
But that's what this should be about. We talked about how the first round actually felt like it was going faster, and then they kind of added a bunch of commercial breaks there at the end to slow it down. But that's what it should be. It should be a lot of fun because it's now this big fan experience where, I mean, you're having thousands upon thousands of people, you know, take over a city and just have a big giant party for a day or two. So why not go out there and, you know, poke fun at, you know, Eagles fans, where, you know, Philadelphia, they're diehard and over the top sometimes. So I thought it was hilarious.
You know, if this helps Drew Pearson's Hall of Fame chances, and let's just say some, you know, this year or next year, he's able to find a way to get into the Hall of Fame, you're going to see other players trying to get in that and do stuff like that to get their Hall of Fame chances too. You know it's going to happen.
Yeah, and then, like, it's just that's what I like about it. They need to figure out something with a third round, though. Like, that going to, like, random ass people and having them do the pick, and like I was
day three, right? It wasn't the
day three, yeah. Like the rounds 4 through 7. Like, I was with Mike Mayock with the Zoo. Like, if you guys go to the Zoo again, I'm turning this off. Like, just I'm enough of this. Like, just I don't know. They got to figure out something. It feels like it's totally a drag. It just, and then them having to, and then like, the NFL Network makes it like this big deal still at like the fifth round. And I'm like, my God, just let the pick go. And you guys just keep talking at the top of the fifth round. Are people really that invested? I'm like, okay, they were holding the pick, waiting to still announce it and everything. It's like, good Lord, guys. Like, come on.
They should have comedians come out there and do it. They do
it. Yeah, just do stand-up while the pick goes behind you. Like, why not?
Can't we just skip, I mean, at least for the first round, not have commercials? Like, have a bunch of people come out with signs and advertise that way. But it's like,
yeah.
Damn, doesn't the league make enough money where they don't have to have commercials in the? I swear, one year they did do a commercial-free first round or something, or like it was like the first hour was commercial-free or something like that.
And to be honest, I mean, at times a commercial is needed when things drag out as much as they do in that first round. But it was going by so quickly, I felt like three picks were in.
Yeah,
at one it point was. We're just waiting to hear the first one. So.
The Jaguars might have got them a big steal with D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah, I was waiting to talk about the fourth round, so I wanted to bring up D.D. Westbrook. Perfect fit. Another one of those receivers that I just kind of fit perfect in the slot. And you put him between the two Allens and talk about a ridiculous weapon. Now you have three speedy receivers out there a lot of times at the same time because they will want to go three deep a lot. It's so many weapons for Bortles. If he fails this year, he doesn't deserve the job.
And you can put Fournette out there to catch, too.
Absolutely.
So it's like, you know.
It's going to be interesting to see who they now cut, because I believe they still have Ivory and the other
Yeldon,
still on contract. I don't think they're going to keep all three, but Yeldon can catch it out of the backfield, too. Ivory, not so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Fournette's already Fournette's a bruising back, so you don't need Ivory.
Yeah, I agree.
You know. The Redskins did finally get their running back in the fourth round, Samaje Perine. So, you know, that could work. I like Samaje Perine, so, you know, that could work out for them. At least, if anything, it's a good combination with Matt Jones. So. You know, hopefully Perine's not fumbling constantly. So that's
that's to be the rough part about that. But I really gotta quickly ask Randy really quickly. You know, actually this is another question because I want someone's unbiased opinion. You know, Trubisky, you know, big time player in the NFL. They wanted him. He was one of the top three picks in this league. His favorite receiver went to the Cowboys, Brian Switzer. And I wasn't really familiar with him a whole lot. Did you see any of him? Did you have any opinions of that kid?
Not really, other than the fact that his quarterback is completely hated in Chicago.
That's awesome.
I watched quite a few North Carolina games because I was covering the ACC for the top 25 last year. That dude is fast, and even though he's small, he finds ways to like just get in the right spot and he gets the ball. So, you know, I think he could the comparison with Cole Beasley is perfect. Like that's what he felt like to me when he was playing.
That makes sense. And with the Dallas format, I think he could fit in there really nicely. As you know, Des Bryant's going to be your deep threat, and you know you can use him with Witten and just kind of find holes that those two create. Or same thing with Ezekiel Elliott, fake him to the right, and all of a sudden have a Switzer off to the left and get him out in space, because you have a small guy like that with speed. And Beasley's a good comparison. Not quite a wide receiver, but Danny Woodhead would probably be a good comparison there too. So, I mean, if used right, Switzer could be a steal.
Yeah, I'm really kind of curious about him. And, you know, there's also, I'm blanking on his name, the running back Samuel. I'm trying to think where he went. He was another guy that I was really looking forward to seeing. So there's several guys in here that you see him in college kind of like Switzer, and you just think, man, you know, they got
the
a lot
Ohio
of
State
potential.
Guy?
I think it is Ohio State. The Samuel, he's a running back. He was really a big time, what do you call it? I call him a Swiss Army knife because the guy does everything. You know, they like him at receiver.
I think it's Curtis Samuel. Yeah,
Yes.
Curtis. Yeah, Samuel. He would catch and run, and he was really good for Ohio State. I think he goes in the next round, but
he went in the second round, and he's marked as a wide receiver. He went to Carolina.
Carolina.
Yeah, because Carolina did the double running backs that are also receivers in the first two rounds.
So, yeah, I missed that. I didn't realize that draft was that high. Wow.
That's crazy. Awesome. You get McCaffrey and Samuel on the same team. It's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun team to watch. Rivera's already complaining that Benjamin is coming in a little fat again today. So that's also interesting about Kelvin Benjamin is.
So do we know, are we reporting now that Kelvin Benjamin and Eddie Lacy are best friends?
I don't know if it's gotten that extreme.
They must have bought some fast food chains or something like that. They're getting all sorts of free food somewhere.
that might be. You never know. There's a ton of running backs that went in this round, though. Joe Williams, Donald Pumphrey, the one that broke all the records. Mm-hmm. He went to the Eagles. And then you had Wayne Gallman going to champion Clemson. Going to the Giants, so and I liked Wayne Gallman from Clemson. This is probably right about the right round for him, but another one that could be, you know, it could turn into something for the Giants there if it all works out. Jake Butt finally goes in the fifth round of the Broncos. That could be another steal of the entire draft. But
yeah, absolutely. I mean, if he stays healthy, again, you go and do a great franchise like the Broncos. Still some quarterback issues over there right now, but Jake Butt could fit in nicely over there.
And you guys got your tight end, Jordan Leggett from Clemson.
Yeah, and I'm okay with Leggett, which is actually funny. This morning when I was up with baby, they were replaying the national championship game between Alabama and Clemson, and I forgot how many great plays Jordan Leggett made just in that game alone. So seeing that has me a bit excited. Not that the Jets will ever throw to a tight end because they forgot that tight ends exist, but it's an option finally.
Whoever is going to play quarterback for the Jets.
This is the thing. I've been reading a lot of draft grades and stuff, and everyone will be knocking the Jets for, oh, they did this and this, but they didn't get a quarterback. I am so glad that they did not get a quarterback. You have drafted a quarterback the last 4 years. Your last two were supposed to be works of art, basically, where it's going to take a few years for them to mature and get ready. Let them mature and get ready. Hackenberg did not go on the field by design. So there's no reason to get a quarterback going, well, Hackenberg didn't work out. You have no idea that he worked out, is going to work out or not. Bryce Petty struggled in the season. But when he was drafted, if everyone will remember, they said he won't be ready for 3 to 4 years. So stop it on his second year that he looked rough on the field because he's not ready. It's fine.
Well,
the quarterback situation for the Jets is okay.
Let's hope. Let's say that they do badly, as when people are expecting. Considering how much
they
of that
will.
Team is missing, are you okay with them drafting a quarterback next year, knowing the great class that that is?
At that point, when some of those quarterbacks are graded to be future Pro Bowlers and great quarterbacks, sure. This draft, not at all. I thought that for this draft, most of the quarterbacks were players that would be great backups to veterans. That's why I thought Kaiser was going to go to Pittsburgh. I think Davis Webb ended up in the perfect situation for him. Mahomes went to the perfect situation for him. Same with Dobbs. Brad Kaya, or however you say his name, out of Miami, going to Detroit late in the draft, I thought was a perfect fit. Quarterbacks that, could they turn into something great? Yeah, probably. But I'm not going out there like the Chicago Bears and giving up an entire draft to get Trubisky.
So I agree with you.
I didn't want him. There wasn't that franchise quarterback to me in this draft. There could be some that could become starting quarterbacks and be good. I'm not saying that all of these guys are just terrible. Next year, there are a few that could be that franchise quarterback. So at that point, let the Hackenbergs and stuff get their reps in, see where you're standing. And if you go 3-13, which I think they're going to, and you get the first pick or second pick and one of those work out, then I'm okay.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, yeah, the Jets did the right thing, not just reaching for somebody.
Say the right thing. As far as the quarterback thing, yes, they did the right thing.
Well, that's what I have about the quarterback thing. I think Deshaun Watson might have gone to the right team, and I think Patrick Mahomes definitely went to the right team, but, you know, Trubisky's going to have... Look, Trubisky may not play at all. You know, Mike Glennon might come in there and light the world on fire, and we're just talking whatever. So, I think it was Gary that said, you come in here and Mike Glennon might just be like, oh, really? You want to challenge me? Well, you're going to be playing for somebody else. It's not the Bears.
And that's fine, Bears gave up so much for that guy that might not play.
Right, that's the thing. Like, I can understand why the crowd's booing him, but they also blew Mike Glennon, so that crowd needs to, you know, Chicago needs to get with it here. You got to pick a quarterback at some point.
And listen, I just read an article today of what the Browns and Titans got for their huge trades where they gave up the picks that went to Wentz and Goff, and it's ridiculous. I don't care how great Wentz or Goff become. The Titans and the Browns won those trades.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Look what the Browns were able to do in this draft. I mean, good Lord. Not to mention they pick up, like, Caleb Brantley in the freaking sixth round. Like, dude. Y'all still got picks there, and you're picking up good players like that after all the players you picked up before? Like, geez. You know, just... It's just crazy what the Browns were able to do. And, the Titans did really well for themselves, too. Like you were saying about Jared Goff, I don't think that Marcus Mariota can complain too much either. They packed him with some pretty good guys there.
Yeah, and that's what we expected, was to go out and get him some receiver help and take that next step forward. I think they did an okay job of addressing some of the defensive needs. We'll see how Adoree Jackson fits. Maybe a little reach there, but if he becomes a good cornerback, that's fine, especially in a division where, other than Houston, defenses are optional at that point. So I think they did fine, especially addressing the needs of giving your star quarterback more weapons to throw to.
Sure thing. So anything else we want to discuss here?
Well, I mean, we talked about Xavier Woods going to Dallas. What about Iron Mike Tyson going to Seattle?
Oh, man. Well, that's not the greatest place to go for that either.
Yeah.
And it wasn't somebody that got drafted, but somebody that went undrafted and was picked up. And I'm blanking where he went to now, so I apologize for that. But just to make you guys feel old, Ken Griffey Jr.'s son was picked up by a team.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Wow.
Wow.
Talk about making us all feel old right there. I still remember playing games with Ken Griffey Jr.'s.
Just so you guys know how old I feel, I now have seen that kid's grandfather play live. Yep. I mean, not in a stadium, but I remember watching TV at a live baseball game and watching Ken Griffey Sr. play. and Trey Griffey, the son of Ken Griffey Jr., he went to the Colts.
Mm-hmm. Wow. There you go, man. Colts. You never know, right?
Yeah.
There's been plenty of undrafted guys do something, so you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we kind of talked about a lot of things here and did it in a pretty good manner. So hopefully you enjoyed our show here. We'll be back on Friday morning with team grades for the draft, going over all 32 teams, giving you grades on players that may not even do anything for years. That's how this works, right? And
the grades don't mean anything because somebody had posted on Facebook yesterday of an article that showed the draft class for the Seattle Seahawks back when they had Russell Wilson. And I'm blanking on the defensive player they took in the first round now, but he's one of their top guys. So they got two of their mainstay players in that draft, and they gave him an F because they're like, why would they draft Russell Wilson in the third round? So draft grades don't mean anything now, but they're fun to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
You're going to probably look dumb for doing them, but yeah, they're fun. Definitely fun to do. So, all right. Well, until, you know, we reconvene in a couple of days, hope you enjoyed our show. Hit subscribe either on the WTM Network, where you can get all of our wonderful shows in one place. Make sure you visit WTMnet.com, where we might do written versions of these draft grades or with more people, so that it's not just the three of us doing a bunch of teams. Not going to guarantee that, because I say things and then somehow it doesn't always come together the way I say them on the show. So, and, you know, make sure, if anything, hit subscribe to Football to the Max and go write a review. You know, if you, whether you liked or didn't like what you heard, if you want to just put us on blast on the review, I want to hear your honest opinion about what it is you heard. And, you know, just go follow Randy at Randy Isbell. Go at his Twitch, Riz Nation. If you like video games, go follow him. You go watch him play some video games like I did today. So, yeah, if anything, you will probably enjoy Randy just as much, hearing him discuss whatever's going on in that game or anything else.
You can say it right. You can watch Randy cuss as he's terrible at the games he plays. You can say it.
That's how most streamers work. I mean, just people just want to fancy themselves these great gamers. They're really not. But, hey, it's we get to review these games, and it's not like we just picked them out of a hat. We get given this stuff, and you're not always great at everything. So, but all right. And Gary, you can always catch him at wrestling on the Wrestling to the Max shows, or just WTM Gary on Twitter that he needs to learn to use at some point.
Yeah. One of these days, Grandpa will get out there and learn how to use Twitter.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Gary is like, who knows? Maybe Lily will teach you how to use Twitter.
Hey, there you go.
You know.
Maybe when I start doing that Gary After Dark show, I'll start using Twitter. We'll find out.
I'm still waiting for Gary to get a new phone. That flip phone is getting old, sir.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying. Me and Jerry Jones are just refusing to let go. Yeah. Flip phone. I'm still using the one that's plugged into the wall.
Yeah, the one you have to charge and it calls from like another state to call the state you need to call. God, I remember my grandparents had those. It's like it was in the car, but it was an Arkansas phone, so they had to call Arkansas. It would call Arkansas first, and then call my dad. They were basically calling long distance every time. It's like, wow, how we have advanced is funny. But, if you want to hear us talk about more old stuff, you can also listen to the podcast, because apparently that's what half the show is. So, later, everyone.
Later.
Until next time.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.